Hello and welcome to the What's Current podcast by Napit, where we discuss all things electrical. On the show today, we've got myself, Andrew Duffin, technical commercial engineer at Napit. I'm also joined by Steve Humphreys, technical commercial manager. And today's show is on the rise of tool theft from vans, which is a really big topic in the industry at the moment, isn't it, Steve?
It is. It's been in a lot in social media. It's been around for many, many, many years. Mm.
It's a blight, tool isn't
theft.
It?
It is an absolute blight on trades, on the industry.
It's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hate it. Yeah, it gets me back up.
I'm mad. Are you mad? We should be mad about stuff like this.
I'm not happy about it.
No.
We seem to see a lot more of it now.
I don't even use my tools anymore and I'm still mad about it.
So going on to that, Steve, have you been unlucky enough to have your tools, unfortunately, stolen from your place of work, your home, your van, etc.?
All of the above. No, apart from the home. So I've, from memory, three times I've had the van done.
Wow.
So yeah, once when I was working for myself, I had a little blue Ford van that was back doors ripped open, all the power tools gone, and my hand tools. That was frustrating, especially working for myself. And I was literally parked up, popped in to see someone, in a pub car park, popped into someone to have a quick pint and do some business, and then like literally I was in there 10 minutes if that 15
what,
minutes
what time of day was this then, like, you know, mid-afternoon, like, four, evening sort of time,
5 o'clock?
Yeah,
busy car park, even got like a little beer garden part to it.
Yeah,
it was all weird. No CCTV captured it. So that was one time. Working for a small firm in the Midlands, working on a job in London, parked up overnight at the bed and breakfast, heard some noise in the middle of the night, sort of half asleep, like, don't know what that was, went back to sleep, got up in the morning, side of the van ripped completely open. Luckily, I had a van vault that time, so they didn't get to the proper stuff, but they still stripped most of the stuff that was in the back. Hand tools gone. And then the maddest time I ever had was, I was, again, working for myself, and I was on a job again in a quite rough part of the West Midlands, and we were doing a load of housing association work, and this job had, you know, people got mugged, people got beat up. It was just a mad wild west area. I remember a generator getting nicked one Saturday morning while the guy was actually in there, and these guys came in and said, "We're taking this." Didn't even.
Yeah, I've got a funny idea, and I want to know that part of what's
meaning.
John, about
but my tools got taken from the job there. I was stupid enough to, because I was working mad hours and I was trying to get all these jobs done in quick time. I was working weekends and I left them overnight on the Sunday evening. Just couldn't be bothered to put them back in the van, which is my own fault. And then come back Monday morning, completely gone. And the same time on that job, they took out all the electrical cable from the first fix and all the copper pipe that the plumber had put in.
You shouldn't laugh, but
and the mad bit about that one is because it was so rough. I know we'll come on to this in a bit about where they end up, but I know where they ended up. They ended up in this pub that no one would dare step foot in, even toughy contractors. And you could buy your tools back off the pool table if you so wished.
Something like Sameless.
Yeah. So there's my tools there. Can I buy that back, mate? It was mine previously. Yeah,
we shouldn't laugh.
Shouldn't laugh. But that one was, three times. Wasn't great. Like I say, twice working for myself, and the other time working for a company and phoning my boss and saying, "Oh, by the way, this has happened."
Yeah,
it's just inconvenience and stuff.
I think that's the right word, isn't it?
Yeah. What about yourself?
Twice I've had it done to myself. I was looking at one time I was an apprentice with the guys working with. We was in Manchester, and we had an old Renault van. It was like a small van, but it had windows on the back doors, and we had a split gun. Now, lucky enough, we took the split gun on the job. We left the case. It's like an orange case.
I remember him, yeah.
We left that in the back. So obviously we parked on the street, and then obviously the window got smashed in. Someone's took the case thinking there's a drill in it and whatever was in there. So it weren't that bad. And then I had a company vehicle myself, a company van, and we was doing a housing site in Nuneaton, and I was doing inspection and testing for the company then. So obviously the electricians wore the houses up, and then I'll come along and test them. And it was like 400 houses, massive estate. And it was just at the start of the estate, as you just come off the road. And yeah, parked the van up. Lucky enough, at the time, we weren't carrying a lot of tools for carrying out inspection and testing. Mm. Just your hand tools. I think I had a drill to do some outside lights or whatever might needed doing. And yeah, took my hand tools into the house, done the testing, come back, and then the handle was on the floor, all the tools gone.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how they'd done it. You couldn't tell. There was nothing there, just a handle on the floor. And I had to phone the company up, and the company didn't have van insurance for tools.
Oh,
so I had to replace all my tools.
Yeah,
it was an inconvenience. Looking up, it wasn't, because I was doing the testing, I didn't take all my tools. A lot of my tools were still at home. Mm. But it was still a good, like, you know, 500 grand's worth of tools gone.
It's mad.
You know, yeah. Like you said, it's the inconvenience of it all. But I'm sure there's probably worse stories than what we've spoken about out there.
I mean, you know, you two, me three, I'm sure people have had it done more and more severe. I mean, that's a good point. You know, what does that, obviously we've touched on there the inconvenience side of it and also the damage, but there's a sort of a, like, again, we've talked about mental health on another podcast, haven't we? But it also, I don't know, what knocks your confidence, or you're just a bit more wary, or you lose your faith in humanity. I know that.
Yeah.
How do you think it's affected you in that way?
Well, like you said, it gets you back up. I imagine if it was like you've talked about, you had your own business.
Mm.
Now, if I've got a job booked in the next day,
yeah,
I can't go to that job because I haven't got the tools. I might have to get the van repaired as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it would affect the mental health, especially if it's you know, a real loss financially.
Yeah,
you know, we're working on small margins as it is, isn't there? It's very competitive out there.
Yeah,
and pricing to win a job.
Mm.
And those little knock-on effects that could send a company under.
Yeah for a small company. Yeah. One-man bands.
Yeah.
If you're doing a big project for someone and that happens, like you say, I think for me, I think it did knock me a little bit, especially when I was working for myself. And I got annoyed with myself as well. Some of the times, like I say, I should have known better.
Did you blame yourself a little bit?
A little bit, yeah, because you're like, oh, could I have done something to stop that? And there's probably a couple of incidents, especially the one where I left them on the job overnight in the house. That was just me being a bit lazy because I was tired. I'd worked all weekend, and it happens, but you still don't expect someone to come and do that. I learnt my lesson. I mean, what we used to do on some of the bigger sites, thinking back, is if you didn't want to put your tools in the van or back in the site hut, and it was your own drill because you preferred using, we used to put them above ceiling voids or
hide them.
Or hide them, you used to come up with some really unique places that people perhaps wouldn't go to.
Yeah. I mean, I remember being an apprentice and we had a Bosch batch drill at the time, and the electricians taught me a lesson because I left it out. I went to the toilet or whatever, you know.
Oh, and they took it.
They hid it on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was panicking.
Lost the drill.
You know, company drill, I'm panicking. I'm only an apprentice. And I'm asking, is it in the drill? No, it's in the drill. You know, all that.
Mm.
And then eventually they gave me the drill back and said, never leave your drills unattended.
Yeah.
The guy misses you. Always like, it was a tough lesson, but one I learned quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
when you were panicking over it. Cool.
Massively thinking, all my ways is going to go here.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's unfortunately we're seeing more of it. And I think, like you said, you touch on mental health. It will affect people mentally in that area.
Yeah. Mm,
so I suppose then what leads us on to, do we think the government and the police are doing enough to combat the issue? What do we think?
Well, we've got some stats here. So excuse me looking down for listeners, it won't affect you, but we have got some stats because I think recently the campaigns that have been out there that we've seen with sort of rallies, March the Ghost Load vans, which was good. And, you know, we've all got a right to protest in this country still, which is great.
Peaceful
people. Keep it peaceful.
Yeah.
Is that we showed that contractors have had enough, haven't they? And there's been some leading voices in that.
Yeah.
But to come back to your question, we show that it's grim reading, really, because research has shown that very few offenders are jailed or even, well, prosecuted in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing criminal charges against them doesn't really happen.
Nope.
One study found that in 451 theft incidents, fewer than 10 were taken to court and only 2 resulted in a sentence. I mean, that's mad that, you know, if you think about it, there's...
It's quite a few numbers being, you know, actually, you know, 451 incidents.
Yeah.
And only 10 taken to court.
So something was done about it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what it's like in these incidents. And I'm not blaming the police here, but they're dealing, we'll give you a crime number.
Yeah.
You know, they don't come out anymore, do they, for you know, even if your house was burgled, you should be very regret, unless there's any violence involved or stuff like that.
Yeah,
so,
it's a very similar point.
So I think, you know, coming on to more stats here, I know that some MPs have been working hard in that space, and I know it's NAPIT and our external affairs guy, Nigel, he's been working with some people like Amanda Martin, who's the MP for Portsmouth. She's introduced the Theft of Tools of Trade Bill, and that was done on the 25th of April this year.
Yeah, Nigel attended that event, didn't he?
He did, in the House of Commons, and that's really good to see that actually if we put something into law, then will it then have that knock-on effect of stopping maybe the people doing it? I'm not sure. It's going to take time to filter through, and that process of it becoming law is obviously, it's at the House of Commons stage. It's had its second reading, so it's got to go then, you know, through the committee stage and all the rest of it. But hopefully we'll start to see some tougher sentences off the back of that then. As regards to the police, some more figures here for you. Two-thirds of police forces across the UK show that an incident of Tall Fest was reported every 12 minutes last year.
Wow.
So, that's scary. Every 12 minutes, this is what's happening.
Scary stats, isn't it?
And again, 44,514 incidents, an increase of 5% from 2022. And look at this one. Tools stolen were worth $98 million.
That's what I mean. It's big.
How expensive are power tools now? Yeah. And if you, most sparkies or tradespeople have got two or three. You know, you've got your nice big, you know, your SDS drill, haven't you, for bashing through walls. You've got your little drill. What else have you'd have? You'd have loads.
Chop saws.
Everything.
You know, circular saws. You've probably got chasing tools, kangos, stuff like that, you know.
And this one's interesting, Andy. Some 55% of the incidents were actually from the vehicle.
So over half.
Over half are from the vans, because they're easy targets, aren't they?
Unfortunately.
Know, whether they're parked up at night at someone's home, which is quite common, whether, you know, the blatant ones sometimes where they're on the job are ridiculous, aren't they?
Yeah, well...
Because there's contractors about there. Yeah.
I feel like you said, though, because a lot of people know, if you're a sole trader, your van is your office and it's your stores.
Yes. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you're not going to take everything out of your van, put it into your garage, and then redo that in the morning.
No.
You're just not going to do that, are you? We'll come on to things you can do to protect your van later on, but I think the people that know that they're not going to empty the van each day and night.
They're
well aware of that. But to go back to Amanda Martin, there's a thing called Back the Bill.
Yeah.
So we encourage people, if you go onto the website, you feel you want to back the bill, go on to Labour surveys and you can back her bill to get that introduced.
Oh, okay, so, that's good.
So if look into it, obviously do your research in it, but ultimately she wants to have tougher sentences on van or tool theft.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's good, like I say, it is good to... I know the previous government did some work on this as well, but it's good to see that this current government are taking it seriously. I hope they do take it seriously.
It needs to.
It gets through.
98 million.
Yeah. That's a lot of...
That's a big crime, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the equivalent of that to something like fraud. Mm. You know, you'd do something about it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, because we're victims that are quite like, it's only the poor contractors have left a power tool. That, you know, it all adds up to those kind of crazy figures.
Well that figure there is 98 million of tools.
Yeah.
What about the loss of business?
Yeah. Yeah,
doesn't and the van repairs, that's not in there either, is it? So that will probably go even higher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So me and you have told our grim stories, and like I say, there's plenty up there of getting stolen. And I said mine ended up on a snooker table that you could buy back, or a pool table, which is just mad when you think about it. Where do you think the majority of these are ending up, Andy?
You do hear reports, don't you, of the car boot sales.
Car boot is the one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what you hear. And again, we've got some stats. It's a bit of a statty show today, but we needed it, didn't we?
Yeah.
The questions we're asking. And it says here, 23% of UK tradespeople purchase second-hand or refurbished tools. When they're asked where they repurchase them, one in seven, 14%, said they was purchased second-hand tools from a car boot sales. So there's some good stats saying that that's the most likely destination there that he's going to end up in, no?
23% of tradespeople. That's an interesting thing. I want to say the DIYers are getting them there, not tradespeople. Because if I see a power tool at a car boot, there's no way in a million years I'm buying it.
To me, when I worked on construction sites...
You're helping the crime.
It was a golden rule. You never nicked tools off each other, did you?
No, you didn't even borrow them?
No, That's what I was talking about with they taught me a lesson. And again, you'd always ask to borrow a tool and take it back. I was always one of those, and it was sort of like an unwritten rule on the construction sites, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're definitely right. There was a code.
Yes.
A code that you didn't do that, you didn't nick off each other. I mean, that's in, you know, car boots. I mean, we've all been to them, and I've been dragged around plenty back in the day. I try to avoid them like the plague, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But we've all been dragged around them. You'll see them all just laid out on the ground, a selection of...
I think it can be tempting for maybe someone coming into the industry, whatever...
For an expense.
Yeah, an apprentice maybe who's trying to get a tool set up and they can't afford to go out and spend thousand on tools. It can be tempting. I would imagine if you're going down that route.
It's a circle, that is, though, isn't it, if you think about it? Because, like I say, unwillingly, you are adding fuel to the fire, aren't you? Because if there's a market there for them to sell them. And I know there's been some work done, Andy, hasn't there, on the police have been attending
these car booths. Yeah. It's just about to bring us on to the next question. Yeah. If we did come across someone selling tools at a car boot sale, what should we do about it, Steve, if we did come across it? We don't want vigilantes out there and campus raiders. And all that, but there's a certain process we can do, isn't there?
Yeah. If you spot that, I mean, the obvious thing is to get in touch with the police, isn't it? Call 101, report it, and say, look, I've just been at this car boot, and this is obviously like these are nicked, and you know, have you got the? Please come out and sort it. You know, especially if you know most of these car boots are regulars, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're paying for that space. I mean, and then you've got to ask yourself, a bit of sidetrack here, you've got to ask yourself what the organiser of the car boots are doing.
I was just about to say, get in contact with those should be responsible.
Say, do you realise what's going on here?
That's the first port of call.
Yeah.
Get in contact with the person who's organising the car boot sale. They may not be aware. You know,
true. Sometimes they pull up and they don't know what's in the van.
Yeah,
they should be doing checks,
they should be. Again, call 101. On there as well.
Trading standards.
Crime Stoppers as well, isn't it?
It's a good one.
You know, and I think this is a good bit as well, but people didn't realise it says here, buying stolen goods could make you complicit in handling stolen goods, a criminal offence under the Theft Act 1968. So you could be creating a criminal offence by buying these tools.
Yeah, I didn't think about that,
it's a really good... bit of information there, and it's the old classic that my dad used to say to me, the deal seems too good to be true. It probably is.
Yeah. Someone's selling you a fairly new power tool for 20-30 quid that's worth a few hundred.
Yeah. It's not.
No, I wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, going off on a tangent, you're always dodgy. It's always dodgy buying any kind of electrical goods from those kind of places, isn't it? Because you get it back and it blows up or it's faulty.
It could be
dangerous.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, is it, that the tool is in a fit condition, is it?
Yeah, you see some of these power tools, they look like, you know, Noah used them on the Ark. So, it's probably not stolen. It's just like been in a garage for about 1,000 years. So, Andy, next question. What campaigns are currently going on to raise awareness of tool theft? What do you think? What? How can these help?
I think you talked about it earlier on. It was the...
Sorry, I didn't mean to steal that one.
No. It was the second... Well, it was this year, in the 3rd of February 2025. It was the second organised Van Go Slow Rally on there, which is in Westminster, to combat tool theft. And it had nearly 500 vans outside of Parliament, which
That's
is good.
Protest. Peaceful protest.
Yeah, peaceful protest. I think it's getting that awareness going... That something needs to change.
You've got to do it.
So I think they're good.
Yeah.
Whether it leads to a goal of change, like you said, you're setting the wheels in motion.
Yeah.
You know.
Literally.
Yeah.
Slow motion.
Didn't realise I'd done that.
No, you did a pun.
No, I didn't realise I'd done that at all. But no, I think like so awareness campaigning, things need to do. Like you said, the stats we've got here are damning.
Yeah.
They're really damning. So if we can highlight it, doing stuff like that.
Talk about it on podcast. The social media stuff on it, it's been brilliant, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Like on the tools, I love watching their stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But they've been instrumental in getting involved with Professional Builder magazine.
Yeah.
I think there's been articles in Professional Electrician.
Yeah. Because it's not just electricians, it's
all trades. It's all trades, you know. And we're the best of the trades, you know. let's cause that a little rain. But actually, it does affect the people we work with on site, you know, chippies, brickies. Although they just have a trap now, manager. you know, heating engineers. I give them the right terminology there.
Yeah. Also, but my mate's a chippy, and I think about some of the tools he's got. I mean, his van is full of tools.
Oh, chippies, it's mad, isn't it? Oh,
the amount of tools they have compared to us, you know, it's crazy. So if they had a van and the tools went missing, it, I mean, that's into your, well into your thousands.
Expensive,
you know,
yeah.
You know, so
for imagine them. And imagine, like, the whole van. I mean, some are blazing enough just to take the van.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of incidents where they've got up in the morning to come to work and the van's gone.
Yeah. I mean, we see the photos. I mean, they're doing them, in, like you said, in daylight. You know, they're drilling holes in the vans, ain't they?
Cutting them with,
you know,
steel saws.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's the cost of living why this is suddenly on the rise now. Because it was around when we was on the tools, and way back when. But I didn't know it as bad as what it is currently.
We always think like that when you get older. You know, back in my day, but I think you are right. I think it's on the rise. I think it is, because it's an easy target. And it seems like it's a sort of a lesser crime. But from the stats we've shared today, we actually know that it's not.
No.
It's not. No.
So I suppose, Steve, we talked about our van. What can we do to our van, you know, to make sure we probably put the thieves off without having to turn it into four knocks, you know what I mean? Because you've got to think about your business, the cost of, you know, securing your van. But what little tips can we give our listeners to probably do?
We did this in a little short video, didn't we, quite recently? I don't know if it's been out yet, but we did a little thing on this because we thought it was important to highlight it. And I think what we said in that, Andy, if I'm honest, is we said that if they're going to get in, unfortunately, they're determined enough, they're going to get in, but that doesn't mean to say you can't do things to make their life harder.
Yeah, I agree.
I saw one video the other day, and again, I shouldn't laugh, and you might have seen it, where I can't remember if it was on Instagram or LinkedIn or something. I think it was LinkedIn, where the guy had a camera facing on his house, his van parked on the street right outside his house. The side of the door was open, but he actually caught the guy.
Okay.
So, I won't go any further than that, because we wouldn't promote violence in a video, but he caught the guy red-handed. And I knew of a story where another guy I worked with caught a guy red-handed in his van. Yeah, and so we're not condoning any kind of taking the law into your own hands. But, you know, so coming on to that, if it's parked outside your house, you know, these cameras range from very cheap and cheerful to quite expensive, you know, and it's evidence if it does get done, or you manage to scare them off because the security light comes on, whatever it may be. So CCTV and maybe some kind of security lighting at your home would be good.
Would you think electricians would probably be an easy fix for electricians to do?
You'd hope so.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Unless they're not very good at the job. And also what I would say, so at the home you can do things. Obviously, if I talk more broadly about that before we come on to the specifics of the van, I also think if you're parking on... a site or a car park near a building site you're working on, it's the obvious ones, like you would if you're just protecting yourself in general, well lit, decent car parks, and then parking up against walls is a big one as well. So
if you can't get back,
bringing that back to home, I know a lot of vans have got side doors, it might be difficult, but I would say if it's back doors, back it right up against the wall as much as you can, whether that's at home or on site. Maybe in areas that are a bit more public to make it more difficult for them as well, if it's out and about. Like I say, it's difficult because you want to be in car parks with CCTV. They're not always working, you're giving yourself a better shot there.
Yeah, and you talked about you could probably have a lockbox inside the van.
Yeah,
you know, you can still
make it harder.
I know there's obviously extra locks you can put on your vans as well. Yeah. You know, so you've got double locks on there. It's just slowing the process down, isn't it?
Making it harder for them. Like I say, if they're going to get in, they're going to get in. But, you know, and those things sometimes aren't cheap to get your van done.
No.
I got my, after that incident with my little blue Ford van, which I loved, when I got my next van, which was a bigger van, I took it to a place and got all those locks in place.
But it's mad how you always do it after the event, isn't
it? Yeah.
It's like when your house gets, I got a burglar alarm, but now I got a burglar. Yeah, so... Like you said, though, it's cost, isn't it? We have to weigh up the cost of protecting your van to your business as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, the lockbox is a really good idea. I mean, again, they're not particularly cheap, and they're tough to get into. Mm. So if they've got through the first layer of your van door, and I'm not joking, the one I had when I was lodging away, they literally, I don't know how they did it, like brute force, they literally, like, it was a side door, and they literally ripped the side of the door down.
These people are, they're professional thieves.
Yeah, and when they got in, you could sort of try to have a go at the lockbox, but it was a decent one.
Yeah.
Van Vault, I remember,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
the brands are available.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just couldn't get into it, so I was like, oh, didn't get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I remember the lockbox, some of them had double locks.
Yeah, sometimes different keys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's probably what I would be saying. Like I say, we've covered them there, just looking at the list.
Yeah.
Garage, if you've got one.
Yeah.
And then empty your van overnight.
Which is the best practice. We can't deny that, isn't it? So take everything out, put it in a screw garage, shed, outbuilding, whatever you got. But that's not always going to be feasible, is it?
What do you think about these labels where you said no vans are left in this tall overnight? We've debated this one a little bit, haven't we?
It's fine if
you do it.
Yeah. I think if you don't do it, my personal opinion, not Nath, it's my. Yeah. I think you're advertising that there is tools in there, personally.
Yeah, true.
You know,
it could be, yeah. There's two sides to that coin,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah, you know, it's like advertising your van as well, isn't it? You know, sometimes if it's not advertised, no one knows what's in there. But yeah. I couldn't understand why you advertise your van. It's a business, isn't it? You're advertising your company. So, again, it's a double-edged sword, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Anything else you want to cover this, then, Andy?
Yeah, I just want to talk about some apps out there that people could use as well. They're not going to stop the van theft of tools, but there's one called VarVoid, which is a van crime avoidance network. It's free to download, and it just gives people alerts in the areas about, you know, vans being broken into and stuff like that.
That's a good idea.
So you can go on there. Again, there's another one called VanWatch, which are backed by the police, insurers and security firms, and again, community alerts in there as well. Obviously, there's some free tool marking kits as well that's available now.
I was going to just think that just popped into my head as you said that.
The ultraviolet light on it, so you code it that way. I think you can put your fingerprints on it and stuff like that, so it's only shown under a certain light. So that would be a good option as well. And there's the UK crime map as well. I've looked at it myself. It doesn't tell you that there's van thefts in the area. It just tells you the crime hotspots. So if you're working in an area you're not familiar with, maybe research it, like you said, maybe park your van somewhere else, and if you can avoid it, you know, so to speak. But
so there is stuff out there that you can actually use.
Yeah, I think the DNA kits that are available, which we're looking into ourselves to get a bit more understanding of. I think they're the next things as well, and maybe like locators on your tools, you know, like a tracker. Someone might be working on something like that. I don't know.
Maybe there's work and it's already out there. Thinking about, like you said, about activate. No, it doesn't activate, like you say.
You
can do it with your phones now. If someone nicked your phone these days, you can easily just then, it's useless, but get it up and working. But I wonder if there's something they could do with tools to stop them working.
Yeah, I'm sure we do more research, and if anyone's listening in and they've got stuff like that,
Comment.
Out to us, and we'd love to find out more how we can support our members with this, because it's a problem and it's not really going away, is it?
No, but we can just be a voice. Get it out there on socials, and hopefully this stuff that the police and the current government are doing will get through. And we've got to deter them from making it an easy crime, haven't we?
We need strong sentences, don't we? And the stat I think you had on back earlier on, where we've only got 10 people taken to court, 2 prosecuted, that needs to
go up.
Yeah, it needs drastically changing, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Andy. That was it's a grim subject, but one that needs talking about.
Yeah.
So. Thanks for listening. Hopefully that's been really, really useful. Like I say, a tricky subject, but we have given some little tips out there that may be useful, and I'm sure most of you out there have suffered this kind of van theft. So look out for the next podcast, and in the meantime, stay safe, stay grounded, and keep the current flowing.